Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, we had been discussing chapter 2, Sankhya Yoga, Yoga of Knowledge. And as we had discussed many times before, Sankhya is one of the schools of thoughts we have in India. And as we have seen, that there are several schools of thoughts, at least about 10, which are enumerated by scholars. Sankhya is the most logical school of thought, most scientific in its argumentation about how to come to the conclusion what is the truth. And therefore, this chapter is labeled as Sankhya Yoga, the yoga of knowledge. And as we had discussed before, that first chapter and the first 10 verses of Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 are basically describing our situation, where we are in this station point of life, which is represented by Arjuna. That we are overwhelmed by the situation and we do not know what is right from wrong. And sometimes thinking that my conscience is guiding me, it's our ego which is guiding our decisions. And we come to conclusion that this is the right way to act. So we have seen the Arjuna's grief, that he has been overwhelmed by this crisis in life where did not know what is right or wrong. And what he thought right, he presented to Krishna to get his approval, but didn't go anywhere. Verse 11 onwards is the Krishna's response to his request that I am your student. I do not know what is right and wrong for me. So you now tell me without any second. Don't give me too many options. Just give me one which says this is good for you. And that's where the discourse in Bhagavad Gita starts. Bhagavan Shankaracharya, who commented on Bhagavad Gita, who is the greatest acharya, he did not even bother to comment on chapter 1 and first 10 verses. He starts from verse 11. Because that's where the real philosophy of Bhagavad Gita starts. Bhagavan Shankaracharya did say that this is the right method Krishna thought would be a cure for Arjuna who was overwhelmed by grief. Bhagavad Gita is nothing but the summary or the essence of Upanishads. So it's a paradigm shift for most of us. And even though we have heard this from our cultural background that Atma Amarche, you know, Atma is immortal. However, we never really experienced that. We never ever have sincerely thought that that can be true. We always thought our life started when I was born, when life will end, when I will die. And therefore, all our equations in life, what we consider as good or bad, are defined by those two events, which we have considered to be very real. In reality, they are hypothetical events in our life. Hypothetical means the event which I cannot experience, I have to build a hypothesis over it. Everything else I can have a hypothesis, then I can test it and try it out. These are two events, there is no way that you and I can experiment in our life. There is no experience of birth any one of us have here. There is no experience of death anyone else have here. The only thing we can say is I have seen my mother dying and my death will be something similar. So it's a hypothesis based on my observed observations. Same thing I have seen my granddaughter taking birth. My birth must be something like that. These two hypotheses we build our life on, but we really have no experience beyond this to a hypothesis. So when we hear there is something beyond that, it's a paradigm shift for us. If you truly take it for granted, what we learn, it will change the entire way we live our life, an entire way we look at the world. So the first verse, which verse 11, Bhagavan says, Asochyan anva sochahatvam prajna vadanscha bhashase. This can be directly directed to us. This is how we live our life. Okay, Asochyan anva sochahatvam. You're grieving over things or those who should not be grieved over. We grieve over things which has happened in our past or in our life, or which Bhagavan says not to be grieved over. So that's our condition. Asochyan anva sochahatvam. You have grieved over things which are not to be grieved over. Prajna vadanscha bhasase. But you're speaking the words of wisdom. All of us give nice advice to when it comes to others. And we use the words of wisdom. Paisa to kya hai, hath ka mail hai. All of that is good. But when it comes to your losses, it's a big tragedy. You're grieving over things which I lost probably 10 years ago. Had I just done that, I would have not lost that. Bhagavan said, you are exactly that. Asochyan anva sochahatvam prajna vadanscha bhasase. You're speaking the words of wisdom, but you're grieving over things which are not worth grieving over. Arjuna has made all his argument about arthasastra and dharmasastra in the first chapter. So obviously he had the enough background on what is dharmasastra, what is nitisastra, except it was misconstrued. We do exactly that. We know what is right and wrong. Using the same equation, when we apply that dharma sastra, the result comes out wrong. So the software is wrong. No matter what data I put it in, the answer will come out wrong. Our software says my life is finite. It started at my birth, will end at my death. And therefore I want to accomplish everything I want to within this lifetime. I keep thinking, every time I plan for my office, I say, okay, I'm 66. Maximum I can continue this for what, how many years? Maybe 5, maybe 6, maybe 10. But still I plan as if I'm going to live forever. Because my equation is still, I just have a limited amount of time I have to accomplish everything that I think I need to accomplish. So therefore Bhagavan says, you are speaking the words of wisdom, but grieving over things which are not to be grieved over. Gatasuna gatasunscha na anushochanti panditaha. Those who are here and those who are gone. Panditaha, one who has the true knowledge of what is reality. They do not grieve over any of them. I complain about my current situation. Well, everything is going good, but except this. We all have kakadrasti. Kakadrasti means a crow flying over a beautiful garden. He does not notice anything which is good. But there is a dead bird or dead mouse. He says that. And focuses straight onto that. So anything that is not good, we focus on that in our life. Everything is going good at home. Kids are behaving very well. Except my boss is not good. All that is going good, I forget. I just focus on the one that is not doing well. So the Bhagavan says, Gatasuna gatasuna. That which is here right now and that which is gone. Panditaha. Those who know that this entire jagat and my sansar is temporary. Constantly changing. And therefore, na anusochanti panditaha. They don't really grieve over it. You experience it, you bear it, and move on. That's what the panditas do, Bhagavan says. But Arjuna, you're talking good words, but not really understanding the real core of what life is all about. So the next verse introduces us to the concept of eternal existence. None of us can really see self as that, and therefore it is a paradigm shift. Once you accept this, your entire thinking will change. Natu eva aham, jatu na asam, natvam na ime janadipaha. There was never a time in the past when you were not there or I was not there, or all these kings were not there. In other words, there was never a time there was a question of non-existence for any one of us. Somebody asked Sunil, what happened in 1942 in India? And I said, what do I care? I was not there. As far as I'm concerned, I was non-existent. In 1942, in the Quit India movement, whatever happened, I am least concerned. I was not there. But this verse says you were there somewhere. There was never a time. It didn't say in last 10 years, last 15 years, last 100 years, last 200 years. He said there was never a time in the past when I was not there, or you were not there, or these kings were not. In other words, this entire jagat that we know exists all the time, including you and I. Except it is my narrow view, which I think I exist now and my father existed then, which creates this grief in my life. Natu evaham jatunasam natvam na ime janadipaha. Nacha evana bhavishyamaha sarve vayam atah param. Okay, well, that was good that I was always there. But I'm worried about what's going to happen now. And Bhagavan says there will never be a time in the future when I will not be there, or you will not be there, or all these people will not be there. In other words, we will be there till your mind can think of an eternity. If I try to run away from my situation now, situation will follow me wherever I am going. Swamiji used to say that, you know, people say, you know, the life here in USA is not good. I need to go back to India, you know. Nice culture, people are this, all of that good. You go there, you carry all your unhappiness with you to India. Swamiji used to say that people leave sansara because they are tired of this, all these problems. Go to Himalaya. They start another sansar there and have the same problem. Because the problems never lied outside, they were inside my mind. And therefore, wherever I go, my mind comes with me and creates the same situation all over again, till I change my mind. So therefore, Bhagavan said, there will never be a time that you will cease to exist. Therefore, grieving over the one who is existing or one who will be dying, which is what Arjuna did. He said, how can I kill my grandfather and my teacher? And here the implication is that your relationship, you are not respecting your grandfather because the way he looks or his body. His ideas and ideals, what he represents. Swami Chinmayananda used to say that your guru is here, beyond this old mud, when he was obviously last days when he was dying. Because he said, this is nothing but this annamaya kosha. It came from the food. It became the, whatever the food I eat and became modified as this, and it will go back to the earth and become food for something else. So he says, this physical form which you are looking at is just a temporary existence in time and space. And when that existence over, the existence will remain, the form will change. That is the concept of reincarnation. So if you are uninitiated into reincarnation, this is the first introduction of reincarnation to you. And Swami is saying it's not really in the concept of philosopher's mind, but it is their observations, and then over and over again proved that this existence cannot be by chance. And we have talked about the child prodigies like Mozart, and some of us have in our own families, we have seen, I have my nephew who is a child prodigy, he plays tabla since the age of about 3 or 4. But where does that come from? Somewhere he has learned, somewhere he has the tendency. So it cannot be a chance. Now we can talk about genetics, but this programming also has to happen sometimes before. So Bhagwan says that all that you see today is an effect of a cause. And the cause and effect can never be separated from each other. As we have seen the gold and gold ornaments. When I see the gold bangle, it's an effect. But the gold bangle cannot come into existence unless gold was existing before the bangle was made. Gold is the cause, bangle is the effect in time and space. In this time and this space, this bangle exists as bangle. Previous time it existed as gold nugget. And in time to come, that bangle will cease to exist. It will may exist in a form of earrings or something else, or go back to the gold nugget again. But the existence for the gold is eternal, at least from our perspective, okay, for this example. The existence of gold bangle is temporary, and therefore Bhagwan says, there was never a time that this gold never existed. So all these bangles and earrings you see, they always existed before and will exist for eternity. You and I as self existed, or we have no experience of non-existence. Therefore, there is a fear of death. If there was an experience of non-existence, we would have known how to not exist. But we have no experience of not existing. That creates fear of death. I fear things which are unknown to me. I do not fear things which are known to me. If I know what happens if there's a traffic on 95, because I experienced so many times, I say, well, put a detour on my GPS. And sometimes the detour takes longer than the actual traffic. Okay. In fact, I have come to a conclusion that every time I take detour, it takes me longer than had I stayed in the traffic. But I don't get afraid of the traffic because I have experienced so many times before. But things which are not experienced, I'm always afraid of. The Bhagwan says there was never a time that you were not existing. And then explaining how that works. Something which you and I can relate to. So I say, Dehinaha asmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara. This we all can relate to. That in this body, I have gone through the changes from my childhood to youth to an adulthood and to now the old man. But I remain constant and I have a memory of my childhood, I have a memory of my youth, I have a memory of my young adulthood. But I'm not that. Neither I am a child now, but I can remember my childhood. That means my childhood had to die, me to become a youth. Youth had to die to become an adult. Young adult to die to become an old man. Two cannot exist together. People try to do that. And then what we call them, the guy has some mental issues. You're an old man but acting like a child. I tell this story all the time. When I first went to Zambia, I used to go to this Lotus Club. It was only entertainment, there was no other thing. Everybody, all adults, as soon as they come from work, they go there. My cousin used to say, the Jay is already 60-something, but he's just like us. You know, he acts just like 20-something. And I used to think how pathetic that is for Jay, you know. That he's still acting like 20-something, but he should be doing something much greater than what. So you can't be two at the same time. I can't be an old man and a young man at the same time. If I behave like that, there will be a disaster. Most of my colleague. They play, I think, volleyball or something. And then once in a while, they come with a fracture. And I said, you're in 40-something. My friend, this is good for 20-something. So when you play a game which is good for 20-something, it is bound to happen. So the Bhagavan says, Dehino yasmin yathadhe. Just as you pass through this childhood to youth to adulthood and to the old age, without any one of them, the continuity. I never thought I ceased to exist when the childhood ended. Tatha deha antara prapti bihi. The same situation will be when you go from one body to another. This is the introduction of reincarnation in Bhagavad Gita. As Swamiji says that this is based on your life experiences, you can say that that is the only way an existence can happen. Otherwise, this world cannot be explained. Why I am in this situation and you are in other situation? Why one is born into a family where everything is provided for and other one has to struggle? If Bhagavan is all compassionate and equal to all of us, then he would have created the same situation. Every baby born in the exact same situation and then go. But we are not. In other words, we have started somewhere. Somebody has started long before I did, and therefore he is in a better situation than I am. Tatha deha antar prapti bhi. There is no difference between me going from young age to an old age, from my death to my new existence. Dhiraha tatra na muhyate. Therefore the dhira, one whose intellect is steady, one who can see things as they are, they don't grieve over that. My friend who just got promotion and was transferred to New York, I don't grieve over him. We actually have a party, we congratulate him, we give a farewell party, and we feel good about that he's making progress. But somebody dying, we cannot have a party, but we still, in all cultures, there's always a celebration of life. Why? Because that person has completed his given task in this life, now moving on to the next stage of his existence. Therefore, there's a celebration that somebody has lived his life or her life fully, now going over to the next one. So Bhagavan says, Dhiraha tatra na muhyati. They don't get deluded, they don't get confused by the death that this is the end of existence. This is just a change of station point, change of the state of existence.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.